All right, we've got somebody back on. I can't tell which one. Who's there?
Dana.
Hey, Dana. We lost both of you. This is really crazy tonight. I don't know. Somebody doesn't want us to get this thing going, but we will. We were talking about some quotes from Japan that were quite remarkable. Were you able to hear them?
No. I got some of it when you were talking. You were just starting to read down about...
one guy made some really good points about how an accident is one thing, but a catastrophe is something entirely different. An accident is something that is stuck in time and space. It happens, it's in the books. A catastrophe, like Fukushima, is in the past, 311, in the present, today, and in the future, unlimited. And it's not being talked about at all in the mainstream media over here. It's out of the headlines. It's not there. It must have been fixed. Everything must be just fine. That's what the average person would say if you even asked them. Most people don't want to hear about it. But what they've done here, as you well know, is raise the so-called safe limits of radiation to levels that are so high now that we can be deluged and bombed with Fukushima radionuclides and still be, quote, safe. And the EPA, with a straight face, semi-straight, can say, not to worry, you're within the safe guidelines. Same thing the Japan government did to the people over there. Yochi, are you back?
Everybody.
No, he's not back.
Okay, I think you can hear me by now again.
I got you there, and Dana is on the line. Yeah, we just got Dana on the line, too.
Good, excellent, good.
All right, I was just asking Dana to go ahead and give us an update on his progress. What's going on up there, my friend?
Yeah, I want to hear this. Yeah, absolutely. And out of touch.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty short one. We went up and got on the ferry, and there was a whole bunch of people got kicked off the ferry because they didn't have photo ID, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I didn't got photo ID. And so we couldn't get on the ferry because it's over a five-hour ride. Now, I had to take a ferry, a short one, to get back, and there's no IDs. So why did they take an ID? So that means I got to drive 1,200 miles up the coastline, or not up the coastline, but up through the mountains and the snow passes and everything to get up there, or take that run back across and up to the islands. Just want to drive around and hit a few places along the way.
Did you go up into the snow?
Yeah, we're going to winterize, get all snow tires and chains and everything. And
all right. Well, what about the boat?
It's crazy. Yeah, we're going to drag that up there into the snow. And that's fine. That's Canadian winter. We got one shopping mall here. We all shops out of that. It's snow all the time. That's a joke. But no, we'll drive. I drove that many times in the winter time, but we're not into the winter time yet, but we're going to have the equipment just in case. And go ahead and go do it that way. Because that's really weird, though. I can't wrap my mind around why I have to have a photo ID when I gave them a certified check and reserved it, and they never told me anything about it. And then they put the money back on my card so they know it's me. They gave me a refund, so they know it's me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But you won't let me on it because it didn't have a photo ID. I said, well, you just give me the money back. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Where was the ferry going to take you, Dana? I'm not following.
I wasn't the only one.
Where was the ferry going to take you that you needed to go?
It was going to take me to Prince Rupert, and then I was going to get another ferry, which was on a short ride over to the Queen Charlotte Islands. Now, the funny thing about this was, I found out after, was I could have took the ferry to Bella Bella, which is less than 5 hours away, and then I would have had to wait for a week and catch the next ferry and catch it up to Clamtu or Shearwater or something, and wait another week and then catch the ferry without no ID. You can't make it up, see? You can't make that stuff up.
No.
And I mean,
no.
We spend a couple of weeks doing that whole coastline, the Brownings Pass, that whole area, and we were all geared to go. We just put a new cabin on the boat. That was 12,000.
Okay, you got you got the cabin on the boat, so the Zodiac is now more weatherized.
Go do that.
How is that?
It's gorgeous.
How are you taking the boat on the ferry with you?
Oh, you just tow it on with the trailer, and that's standard out here in BC. There's a lot of boats moving around here on that coastline. Everybody's got a boat in the gardens up here, small boats, right? And so there used to be a, because I took that ferry, I don't know, probably 100 times, and it was never, you know, it was always loaded, it was never an issue, and it was straight up, and you get off the ferry and you get on another boat and you go to work. because we used to leave our boats up north rather than bring them all the way down the coast when you come to get a bit of time off. But I used to do 100-day trips on that ocean up there. So it was 100 days out there in those islands. You come ashore, and you usually wouldn't even come down there. But if you did, you come down on the ferry. And I had based myself on Vancouver Island. That was a kickoff for the North Coast. And I originally done the North Coast because it was all what I call virgin territory. No one's ever dove it. There was hardly any licenses up there back in those days.
Right.
And so it was a very pristine place. And that's why I fell in love with it so much. It was just a fantastic coastline. So what we're going to do is I'll take 2 weeks off because I've been on the road for 60 days on the ocean out there hitting that coastline, just worn out. And I'll upload all the pictures that I took and in the next 2 weeks, and then I'll tidy up everything, get everything winterized, and we'll head off again. There's a Fukushima symposium going on in Texas on November 15th and 16th. I'm a guest on that one, so I'll be going in on Skype. So I'll be leaving the day after that. So that'll be interesting. I'm a speaker. They got me as a guest speaker for that. And the whole point was, you know, we never found any of the species that we would expect to find. And folks not familiar with it, I'll just give them a quick rundown. There should be 6,500 species of invertebrates without the backbones. They're like shrimp, but, you know, they're like flat creatures. We never found any of them in the tidal pools or in the nursery of the ocean itself on the shoreline. And there should be around 480 species of worms. And you would find a whole whack of them in the shoreline, and you would find five or six on a little rock the size of your hand, and there'll be all kinds of other little species in the vertebrates. They're nothing. The rocks were naked. And then as you go down the list, of course, the sea anemones, which totally dominated every rock. When we used to go into a rock pile to go diving, we would look for white sea anemones, and we knew there was a rock there because you would see them
first. Yeah.
You don't see them. You're actually looking for rocks. And I've never done that before. I've always, you know, year after year after year.
So you, in other words, your white sea anemone would be a little beacon showing you where the rocks are. But they're gone.
And they'd be out of the water, but they'd be all the way down. And then you have the starfish, only finding five species of that. There was only five species of the sea anemones, by the way, folks, out of 78 species. And the list keeps going down. All the species where there's multiple types of the species, but they're individual species, we only find at best two or three of them. Four or five of them, out of the whole coastline that we covered over 60 days. That is incredible. And the health of the ocean has just next 2 weeks gone to upload all the underwater videos. We'll edit all that down and get some really good stuff up. I think that's really going to blow people away. It's just shocking to see how sick it is and how thin everything is and how hopeless it looks. It can't recover because we can't stop Fukushima. Even if we stop Fukushima, it couldn't recover. It only takes 130 days across the ocean. Every day beyond it was another plume. And, of course, that's liberated through convection and evaporation and everything else as you cover over and over.
So,
so generally, we need to do it just to have a debate, I guess.
Okay. My next question is one I've asked before, but I'm very interested in the locals and what they're telling you, what they're seeing, and they must be aware of this. I know last year the salmon fishermen got together and did their own cesium testing on salmon because the feds wouldn't do it, and the industry didn't want to hear about it. And it was just a small group of heroic salmon fishermen that stuck their necks out and put their money up. And they came back with results that weren't good.
Scary.
There's cesium.
That was scary,
Yeah.
Real stuff.
So what's going on with the locals up there?
I think the locals is quite amazing. I say 8 out of 10 people engaged me in the conversation itself. 8 out of 10 people, and they all had the same thing. I thought it was plugged. And that was a common word, whether they stick their finger in it and plug it or not. But they all, I thought they had that all plugged up. But once you got into the conversation, they would ask you pertinent questions on what you were saying. They weren't trying to walk away. They weren't trying to avoid the conversation. They were actually asking pertinent questions. And, of course, as I was talking to engineers and welders and all these other people, and those guys, that was the type of people that would really hammer you with the proper question. And I thought that was that made me feel good in a way that there was hope because people really did get it. They asked, as I talked to them and they asked me questions, I told them that. Then they would ask a great question each time. 8 out of 10 times I've seen that. And the other ones seem like they're vaguely lost, but you can see in Fukushima, really? It's still going on. And so most people think it is plugged up. A lot of that got to do with Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution going out telling everybody that there's only a few leaks left there and that it is plugged up. for the last 3.5 years. And
Woods Hole is Woods Hole, just for our listeners, is not our friend in this fight to bring reality and truth to people. It is tragically, obviously, playing on the other side of the fence, pretending to be our friend, and they are not. It's rather like UC Berkeley. Now, there are some good people at UC Berkeley, but unfortunately, UC Berkeley is tied to the government, tied to the military-industrial complex, and, of course, the powers that be, ultimately. And they are not going to tell us anything. They're doing this KelpWatch 2014 survey, which is going to be a complete fraud. We know what to expect. So the only thing we're really getting by way of a measurement of the amount of damage, certainly from British Columbia North, is what Dana has been doing, in case you folks are new to the program. No one else is doing anything up there. And you're going up into the snow. Are you going to take snow samples and see what's coming down in the precipitation there?
Yeah, this time going up is going to be completely different. I already got it worked out to, we're going to pre-plan where we're going to. We're going to contact the local newspaper and put advertisements in it. Then we're going to have a presentation in that community. We're going to rent a place. We're going to go out and meet the natives. And I'm adamant that that is the way I got to go now. I got to ratchet it up. And so I'm going to bring in, I'm going to go, you know, I'll go talk to the local newspapers, local radio stations. I'll personally go there and talk to them and see if I can get someone interested and carry the subject in that community. And we want people to come out and debunk us. That's what we want them to do. We want them to come out and say, you're wrong, here it is right there. Or we would like the native community
to not like it.
We're going to go up and ask them, tell them, you've got to come out and show me where you ate all that food from the low tide zones. And people have to understand that on that whole concept. So I know I'm going to have to push it harder and get more documentation. That's what the plan is, to really ratchet it up and give everybody an opportunity. And you know how I am. I'll do the presentation properly.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Jay Cullen and the rest of them shows up from the University of Victoria to tell them it's like bananas, they'll have a few questions for them.
Okay.
And we can
all right,
take that away from them.
Yeah. Stand by, Dana, just a second. Yochi, are you still there? Yeah.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. But
right.
I'm still here.
Okay, good.
If
hold
I caught
on.
Dana right, he says he was up by the snow line measuring radiation.
We got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll revisit that for you. So stand by, everybody. We'll come right back.
Okay.
We are back, and we're talking with Yochi Shimatsu, who is in Thailand, and Dana Durnford up in British Columbia. All right, Dana, one other question for you, and Yochi had echoed it. What kind of work do you expect to be able to do by taking snow samples? This is very important at the higher elevations, and if you go... Well, we just lost somebody. Who's...
Yochi.
Yochi's gone again. If you go by somebody's house, Dana, and you do a ground reading on the soil... Just on the topsoil around their house. This is one way you can do it. And it'll read, whatever, 35, 40 counts per minute, whatever the baseline there is. And then they say, well, that doesn't look like it's real bad. Go over then to the downspout, the rain gutter downspout, and read the soil right where the water pours out. It's been pouring out now for almost 4 years, coming up this March.
Okay.
And read that location and prepare to be amazed, because that's where it all compiles and intensifies and it builds up there. And I've normal ground readings here. I don't touch the inspector to the ground. I put a plastic bag over it so I can read it, or I just hold it carefully. But it'll be, you know, 35, 40. And you go over to the downspout, be 150, 160, 400% higher. So that's usually something that'll get people's attention.
I got 242 during that typhoon that came across, the end of it, the tail end of it.
Wow. Where were you reading?
Yeah.
What were you reading? Just rainwater?
That was just the moisture in the air. Well, it never stopped raining that whole time, so we were in a campground, and we have a
242 just reading the
counts
air.
Counts per minute. Yeah. And it was sustained 165, 185 for a couple of days. Really big numbers per minute. Of course, when you add those numbers up over the whole day, they're frightening numbers. But just in a minute, and so they can't deny it much longer. They just can't deny
I respectfully suggest that these criminal elements calling themselves government agencies can continue to deny it and will continue to deny it until hell freezes over. They'll just keep repeating the same lie over and over and over again. That's what they do.
Yes, that drives me crazy. It drives me crazy.
Well, me too.
It drives me crazy.
I mean, here's science.
I know. You don't stop. You don't stop.
Well, here's science fact. All right, here are the readings. So we're just going to have to keep doing what we do. That's all we can do. But expect them to be the most deceitful, devious, lying pack of scum you're ever going to run into, because that's what they are.
Well, like you said, I'm going to ratchet it up. I'm matching it up this time. You give me 2 weeks off now to rebuild myself, get everything up for winter, winter gear on and stuff like that, and I'm coming back with a vengeance. And so what I'm going to do is the volunteers in the newspaper, we'll get them to deliver flyers into all the neighborhoods, all the businesses. We'll drag people in there. I don't care. If they want to grill me, they're going to have their chance at the end of each meeting. I'll give them an hour or 2 hours if that's what they want. I'll give them 3 hours if that what they want. And I got 25,000 pieces of information with me on each computer. So if I'm hooked up to that projector, I'll give them what they want. And I'll give them the real data.
Wow.
No messing around.
Yeah.
No messing around. It's time to do something.
Now, you're going to try and do this in how many communities?
Well, we're going to hit everything that we could find is the idea. So it'll be everything that we can find for right till spring. We'll just keep going. It'll be exhaustive. We'll come back down here. In fact, we're going to do Desolation Sound again and get some really high quality. We never had that good of a camera the last time.
Right.
So we got new lenses and stuff. We're going to go back up and do that one again because there was a lot of controversy over that, even though I got no concept of what, because every beach was named, and there was maps to it, and anybody can go there and check it themselves. It wasn't like it was hard. It wasn't very hard to find access to it either, see? So there was a lot of controversy over that, and I'm going to do that again, just real hardcore for a couple of days and try out all the new gear before we take off, and just to have another go at these people, because it's obvious that, you know, if no one's going to come and debate you, if no one's going to come out and actually show that you're wrong in everything you're saying, if they could do that, they would do that. Same with you. Right? If they could do that, they would do it to us. But they won't. They can't. They couldn't. And, of course, the industry won't let them because that would be stupid to come out and try to hammer you or me. We can come out and rebuttal that to pieces, obviously. And like Yoshi, you know, he doesn't hold any words, but he's so eloquent with it, that the people I do play those clips of Yoshi and yourself, they really get it when they hear you guys. See? That's what I mean, right?
That's
the power.
Nice. Yeah.
If you can get out there, then you know you can do it. You can really change the game.
Now, tell us about this thing you're going to participate in via Skype. Where is that and who's putting that on?
I haven't got it in front of me.
Okay.
It was all arranged. That's some university in Texas, and they were motivated by what we were doing originally.
Yeah.
But you put that video up there, Polar Pacific Ocean did, that was a lot of controversy. But, I mean, that was an accurate description. It wasn't 100% dead, but people said, oh, no, there's a few things alive, and you beat us up that way. But that was defeating what we were showing, was 1% of 1% was dead. And so that seemed to kickstart that one. And there's another institution, another university in Detroit, they're starting to put together a symposium, and they're going to have me in on Skype for a couple of days later. But at least that's a start. And if you can educate those kids and tell them the difference and ask them to try their best, that's a start. Everything's a start with me, every opportunity.
Well, of course.
But now I'm tired of that. I just want to go, I'm going to trip up everything in my way, and I'm going to go tell the community myself. And if they can't, and I think they can, because 8 of the 10 can digest it, no problem, ask me pertinent questions to what I was saying. They weren't distracted. They were focused and concerned and absolutely worried that this wasn't stopped. See, they were led to believe that it was stopped.
My God, it's getting worse and worse, as you know.
It is.
And that's the part that they don't. See, most people, unfortunately, are so reflexively conditioned by the media that they say, okay, it's important. It's on the television. It's on the radio. It's in the press. If it's not there, then you got a problem. And that's the gap you have to bridge. Well, why isn't it in the media? And these people who say, my God, if it was really bad, the government would tell us. They're hopeless. It's sad. Right. They have the longest way to go. They're just out of the loop
entirely.
Why doesn't
the government tell us? Right.
Yeah.
That's the logic. It's not logic, sir.
No, it's reflex. They've been taught that their whole life. If you're sick, go to the
doctor. I was like that years ago, yeah.
Well, I was too.
I was really like that myself.
There's
a
learning curve you got
to
go through.
To one extent. It's
absolutely
hard to believe that the system is engineered to deceive you and to cause a void by giving them the wrong information and a little bit of good information. So when somebody tries to talk to them with the actual information, they'll say, oh, it's like a banana, it's nothing to worry about, it's like potato chips, or it's like walking in the sunshine.
Ah, it's unbelievable. Are you still hearing that banana story?
I am.
Oh,
yeah, you're reading
God.
It. I'm still finding it. The same players all the time, the same media. They manage to sneak it in there, and they're not apologetic about it. No one bothers to fact check it.
No, I know.
What you ended up with is...
I know. Hold on a second, Dana. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Dana, you want to wrap it up for us this time?
Yeah.
Your immediate schedule is what?
Immediate schedule is 2 weeks, upload all the footage we already shot, and then winterize everything and get out of Dodge and get started again and keep going.
Okay. All right. Thanks for taking time tonight. Go curl up and get some sleep. We appreciate you.
I will,
as always.
Good night, folks. Take you.
Okay. Good night, Dana.